Okay, this is Monday, December 10th, and it's Joy, Happiness, Gratitude, and Love with Dallas Snyder.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, this is the time of year where we're going to do the joy and the happiness and the gratitude and the love, because it's the holiday seasons. So we want to figure out where do these come from. And last week we talked about any of the things, love, happiness, joy, and all, always comes from inside of you. So we look out and we say, oh, those lights turn us on, this turns us on, and that looks good and all. But it's what we think in our minds that are doing it. It has nothing to do with the decorations whatsoever. They're very nice to look at, but it's what you think about them that counts, you see. And that's what we want to learn during the month of December, that it's from inside of us. All the emotions that we have come from within inside. There's no stimuli on the outside of life. All of the things that are happening to us are happening to us because of the way we're thinking about them. I was at the bank this morning, as I wanted to go out, and every time I started the car to go out, another car would come in, another car would come in. And I was watching myself get angry, saying, where are all these cars coming from? Why can't I get out? Of course, it would have helped if I had been going in the right direction. I was going in the other direction. I was going against traffic. But I then realized that has nothing to do with anything, Dallas. You see, it's what I'm thinking about. Why do I care how many cars hold me up and so forth? See, we think, oh, well, they're wasting my time. They're doing this or anything. That's all done in my mind. Remember? Abraham Lincoln said, most people are as happy as they make up their minds to be. You see, you have to make up your mind if you're going to be happy, if you're going to be filled with joy and love and gratitude. You just have to make up your mind to do those things, not sit around waiting for it to happen to you. And that's all the whole idea about learning to control your thinking, or watching the movements of your mind, becoming a witness to the thinking. When I noticed what I was doing, I stopped it, and I felt good. Otherwise, if I had continued with those cars, by the time I got home, I'd have been completely upset. Why do all these people out? Why are they against me? And da 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 da. It has nothing to do with that. Wayne Dyer did a whole tape one time on people in traffic, because they say, oh, the traffic's killing me. You see, well, traffic has nothing to do with anything. Yes, the traffic's bad. Yes, it's backed up and all. But that's not what's killing you. What's killing you is what you're thinking about. What are you thinking about the traffic? You hate those people. They cut me off. They did this. They did that. You see? We took it personally when we're out there on the highway. Those people don't. You know, they have their own agendas. But it's what we're thinking in our mind that's always going to be. So we have to remember that if we want to be happy, we have to make up our minds to be happy. People think, oh, I'll be happy once I'm in, get this, this, or this. Or I'll be happy if I have money. Money cannot bring you happiness. For the new person here, the title of this class is Prosperity and Abundance, Including Money. Now, we talk about everything but money sometimes, and we always get it slipped in there because money is very important. Money is freedom. We must never forget that, that money is freedom in your life. The more money you have, the more free you are. The definition of prosperity is to be able to do what you want, when you want, as many times as you want, and with whom you want. That's what prosperity is all about. And most of us don't reach that. We think it's completely something different. But that's all money. Think of money as freedom in your life. It gives you freedom to do things. And that's what money is. Money is also God in action. We always remember that. The other thing that we always remember is that God is always the source of your supply. It may look like something else is doing it, but it's not. God is the source of your supply. The job that you have is a channel that is bringing the money to you, is bringing the prosperity to you, but it comes from God. And the mistake that we all make is we think we only have one channel, and we can open up many channels. Hey, we were just talking about you. You just sat in that man's chair.
You sit here.
So what we do with in the, this class is we start to change our minds about ourselves. And we start to change our mind about the world out there, that the world is not out to get you, you see. That's another mindset. If we think the world is out to get us, the world is going to be out to get us. But we can change that. So when you change your mind about yourself and get a bigger, better idea of yourself, a bigger, better idea of God, and a bigger, better idea of the universe, then things change in your life. Because the only limitations that we have are the limitations that we put up on ourselves with our thinking. Because we have a little thinker in there that says, no, you can't do that, or that's for other people, or you don't have enough education, or this, and this. None of that has anything to do with it. It's what you're thinking about yourself. So we teach people that they are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that they matter. And that's what this class is all about. So with that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I really, really matter. Yay! See, it gets a laugh. It makes you feel good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You have to know that you matter in this world. If you don't know that you matter in this world, who is going to give you anything? If you don't know that you matter in this world, do you think that this thing that we call God is going to give you things? You're the one who has to make up your mind that you matter. Once you make up your mind that you matter, the universe reflects that back to you. The universe reflects that back to you. We always are saying this, that what you think about, you bring about. What you're saying about yourself, a man becomes what he thinks about all day long. And that's what we have to think. What am I thinking about myself? How am I doing it? Now, the easiest, I've used this before, this thing that we call the universe, I'm always telling you that it mirrors things back to you. So if you say, I can do it, the universe says, you're right, you can. If you say, I can't do it, the universe says, you're right, you can't. So if you think of the universe as an echo, it's an echo. If you have an echo and you say, I can do it, the echo doesn't come back, no, you can't. It says, I can do it. It echoes back to you everything. You see? That's all the universe does. That's all this thing that we call God does. Just echoes back what you're thinking about yourself, what you are saying, you say. And it works on all planes. Remember, below as above. So, on this plane of action, we have an echo to remind us of that, you see. The echo will always come back to you exactly the way you do it. What you are thinking about, you will bring about exactly the way you're thinking about it. You see, it's just an echo. So, when your mind, you have to watch the movements of your mind and see what your mind is saying to you every minute of every day. Like I caught myself at the going out of the bank. Why are these cars in front of me? Why is this happening? No, I can change it. Doesn't make any difference. I was in no hurry. Where was I going? Nowhere. You see? But it's all done with your mind. It's all done with your thinking. The important thing is to master your emotions without letting them master you. And this is the whole idea. Remember Ernest Holmes in Science of Mind? Learn to think the thoughts that you want to think. And learn to feel the feelings that you want to feel. And most people in their lifetime never master their emotions. They allow their emotions to run them. And they believe that their emotions are theirs, you know. Everyone by now realizes that you're not your mind, right? People know that they're not their body. Well, you're not your mind either. Your mind is yours, meaning it is yours to use. You must learn how to use your mind correctly. And we're not taught how to do that. So then the mind takes over. If you don't control your emotions will control you. So we are always looking for how do we let these emotions come through our body and out without doing damage, you see. Because most of the things that people suffer from, they suffer from because they're stuffing some emotion. They're stuffing some emotion that they won't let out. So you get all kinds of things. When I was a minister in Knoxville, Tennessee, I gave a talk, and it was all about you are always the cause under your own experience, and there's no physical causation for disease. It comes from mental. It comes from your mind. So afterwards, one of the members came up to me of the church and said, well, you can't give a talk like that. You shouldn't say that because then that makes people feel guilty and so forth if they have some disease or something. I said, well, I will tell you this. I will tell you that because that is what this teaching is all about. That is what metaphysics is all about, and that's certainly what science of mind is all about. Now, if you leave that one big chunk out of it, you're not getting this lesson at all. Well, she said, you can't tell me that my friend, who's 20-some years old, she's got arthritis so badly, her hands are like this. And I said to her, well, let me ask you a few questions. I said, does she like her job? No, she hates her job. Does she like her mother and father? Oh, no, she hates her mother and father. Does she? Oh, no, she hates that.
What does she like?
She didn't like anything. The woman finally got the idea. It's your thinking. It's your thinking. It's what you can't hold hate and all that stuff and resentment and so forth in without it causing something. You just can't do it. So that's one of the things that metaphysics teaches you. How to think differently about yourself and how to think differently about the world around you. I read this today, and I remember a long time ago I was talking about genetics, and everyone thinks that genetics controls everything. And that's simply not true. And scientists know that's not true. But years ago, a reporter got a hold of that idea and wrote it down so often and passed it on to every magazine and newspaper that people started to believe that it's genetics which is causing everything. So, and we start to believe that, oh, I have this because my father had it, yada, yada, yada. And it's not true. And this is what I came across. Genetics plays an important role, but good nutrition can trump the genetic card. And good nutrition, always, we are all predisposed of something. You see, I could say that diabetes runs in my family, and I would be predisposed of that. But I would never get diabetes if I would watch my sugar intake. But people will not change their lifestyle. They will not change that. And simply because they believe my father had it, therefore I have to have it. And you do not do that to yourself. The other thing to remember, God is always first cause. Always first cause. So, if you believe it's genetics, you have made first cause genetics, you see. And genetics is what we call secondary causation. And people are always making first cause secondary causation or secondary causation first cause. So you always have to go back another step on this point of action. You can look at it and say, oh, it's genetics that's doing this. And if you believe that, it's going to work for you. But if you remember, oh, God is first cause, you can go past genetics. Now, they've already proven and been able to do. People now can change. You can change your DNA. And you do that with your thinking. And you can change it. It's not locked in. Nothing is locked inside of us the way we were taught that it was. But genetics is the big one. Now, people like to blame diseases on their genes, but only a very small percentage of our major diseases are caused by genetics. Only a very few are caused by genetics. And people would like to think that genetics is controlling everything, and it's not. They have done study after study, and they have taken twins, and the one twin will develop it, all the stuff that's in the family. The other one won't. And they can look at it and say, simply because he's thinking differently and he's eating differently. His nutritional stuff is different. You see? How many people do you see smoke cigarette after cigarette after cigarette and then they come down with lung cancer? And they think, how could this happen to me? You see? It happens because you're not taking good care of yourself. There's this little saying that says, such is the nature of life that all it wants and all it asks is an opportunity to appear. We get colds because we allow it to appear. We give it an opportunity. How do we give it an opportunity? By not eating well, by exhausting ourselves, and then we get a cold. Those cold germs are always here with us. They're always inside of you. As long as you take good care of yourself, they don't hurt you. But if you give them an opportunity to appear, they will start to appear. If you drink liquor all day long and you get cirrhosis of the liver, you cannot blame that on genetics, you see. That's done because of your lifestyle and usually because of nutrition. And they've done study after study. They did a study with cats, and it takes 3 generations before it improves. The first group of cats were fed refined stuff, you know, and processed foods and so forth. Well, for 3 generations, they carried that down. Then they fed them good food. But it took 3 generations for the cells and so forth that were passed from that genetic code passed on to be healthy again. And that's what we do. And we see that in our society today. Because never before in this society have we had children with so many diabetes, type B or D or whatever they call it. And it's because of all the refined foods and so forth. They're not taking care of themselves, you see. This teaching teaches wisdom. It teaches you how to think, not what to think. You have to know, oh, I can't. I maybe can smoke 1 cigarette, but I can't smoke 40 cigarettes a day and expect to be able to breathe. It's just common sense. It's just common sense. Anyway, I wanted to throw that in because I go around about genetics all the time, and there are so many books out there on the market that will tell you now that genetics has very little to do with anything. It just got carried away with itself, and now everyone believes that. And doctors certainly believe that because they say, oh, they immediately ask you, well, has your father had cancer? Has this happened? Does that happen? But they don't say, my father died of cancer. My brother believes that he'll die of cancer, colon cancer. Why? Because my father ate red meat all his life, tons of red meat, and all kinds of things that he shouldn't, spicy foods, all kinds of things. My brother does the same thing. It has nothing to do with genetics. It has to do with what you're eating. It has to do with the nutritional value. But we love to blame things outside of that, saying, I have no control over it. You always have control over your life. And you have control over your life by making better choices. And life, that's all life is choices. So you can choose to be healthy. You can choose to be happy and joyous and filled with gratitude and filled with love. But those are choices that you have to make. You have to be able to do that without anything from the outside coming in, any outside input. Yes, all that's nice. It would be nice for people to tell you this, that, and the other thing. It would be nice to be in a loving, caring, sharing relationship. All those things would be nice. But they don't bring you happiness. You have to have happiness to begin with. And we see that constantly in relationships. They think, oh, I'll be happy when I get a partner. Well, it isn't long before that relationship's done. It's over because you're expecting something from somebody that they can't give you. Only you can give yourself happiness. Only you can give yourself love. And that's what this class is about, learning to love yourself. That's what this whole journey here on this plane of action is, to learn to love yourself and to learn to see how powerful you are, how magnificent you are, how creative you are. That's what this is about. Instead of falling into that, well, I'm just human and I will live a 60, 80, 100 years and then I'll pass on and nothing, whatever. You're here to learn to love yourself. And I know the outside world wants to tell you to love everybody else. You cannot love anybody else until you learn to love yourself. It's an impossibility. It's an impossibility. And everyone thinks, oh, well, then I'll pass that over and I'll love God and everything will be all right. Everything will not be all right because you can only love God as much as you can love yourself. And the highest form of worship that you can give God is to learn to love yourself, because all that you are is God, but you are not all that God is. So you have to start inside of yourself. And you have to say, I'm a magnificent human being. I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. And do that every day. Do that every day and you'll see a complete difference. You'll see a complete difference in the world. And the whole thing that's going on out there now because of the holiday season, which is a wonderful season, and is supposed to be done with joy and love, happiness, gratitude, peace on earth, and joy to everybody. But people are out there trying to buy love, and they're trying to get the biggest present to impress somebody and so forth. You cannot buy love. A present does not, if somebody could give you the biggest present in the world, say somebody gave you $1 million, and you took the $1 million. Now, do you love that person? Yeah, you don't. You don't. That doesn't bring love. $1 million will not bring love. You see, you can't buy love. Love just is there, but it just starts inside of you. So love yourself. Love yourself, and don't look around for anything to fill you. Learn to fill yourself. And it will work every time. Well, the other thing, every time that we learn to love ourselves, nice things happen to us. And more money comes into our life. More money comes into our life when we learn to love ourselves. When you're happy and filled with joy, doesn't wonderful things happen in your life? But if you're not, you know, nice things don't happen to you. Then you say, look, nothing nice happens to me. Well, no wonder. You're the Grinch, you know. Nothing's going to happen to you. But we have to do that, and that's the power that we have. The power that we have is to think the thought that we want to think, and to be able to change our thought any time that we want to, you see. But most of us don't do that. We let the world tell us what'll make us happy, you know. If you wear this perfume, you'll be happy. If you wear these clothes, you'll be happy. It has nothing to do with anything on the outside, any of the trappings on the outside of life. It has to do with you and what you are thinking about yourself. So we learn to change our minds. Excuse me. And we certainly learn to change our minds about this thing that we call money. And especially at this time of year, we have to look at money completely differently. We have to see money differently. And we can all do that too. And see money as free, and see money as God in action. And know that you always have money, that money's always freely circulating in your life. The only thing that's ever holding up your money is you. You know, I made a statement a long time ago, you are your money. Whatever you are, whatever you think you're worth, that's how much money you have. So you have to think high about yourself. You see, it's done. How many people here are still doing wonderful, wonderful me? Yes, we do that every day. You have to keep telling yourself how wonderful you are. Because no one else is doing it, are they? Did anyone come up to you today and say, geez, you're wonderful? No. They would love to hear that. They have, you know, I tell people they're wonderful. It's, you know, that doesn't, but most people don't want to do that because most people don't think they're wonderful. And they're certainly not going to give that compliment to somebody else. So you have to give it to yourself. How many people are still congratulating themselves? You have to congratulate yourself all the time for what you do. You know, if you got to this class, congratulate yourself. Look at the people who didn't. So it's always inside of us. It's always our thinking. What are we thinking about? Well, that's how it does it. Huh. To avoid the pitfalls of the ego, try to recognize when your need for control, recognition, or security has taken over. You know, we talk about the ego all the time, and we all have an ego. And people say, well, how can I tell if my ego's doing it, if it's really me or my ego? Here's how. If you have a need for control, that has to be your ego. If you need a need for recognition, that's your ego. And if you have a need for security, that's an ego. And the security is always, the ego is always worried about security. It's always worried about security because it always will tell you you don't have enough money. And it'll always tell you, geez, you're going to live under the bridge. Or this is going to happen to you, or that's going to happen to you. When you know that, that's your ego. So you have to say, oh, no, you have to talk back to it. And say, that's not true. That's not true at all, you see. The ego wants you to believe that it is you. And you are not your ego any more than you are your mind. So you can control that ego. And those are the ways to figure out, am I using my ego? If I'm into control or recognition or security, then I know that I'm in my ego. So I get out of my ego. This thing that we call spirit, which lives in each and every one of us, does not need control, you see. It knows itself, so it doesn't have to control anything. And it knows itself, it doesn't need any recognition whatsoever. It doesn't need any recognition. It is as it is, you see. We need recognition because we think we're not quite right. You see, most of us think that we're less than. And we want recognition so somebody notices us and makes a comment. Oh, that was good. Oh, you did good. That was good work. Remember, oh, wasn't that wonderful? Instead of knowing that what you do is good, and you should always do good work. Years ago when I was in Utica, New York, I used to eat a little place called Mama Rose's. She was an little Italian restaurant, seated about 12 people. And she did all the cooking, serving, and everything. And you would say to her, oh, Mama, this spaghetti is really good. She'd say, yes, I know. Yes, I know. She didn't need that recognition, you see. She knew she did a good job. And that's what you have to know. You know, do the very best you can do and let it go. Don't wait for somebody to do it for you, because you may not give it. Then you come home and you say, well, I did all this, no one recognized, no one, but no, don't expect people to recognize. Don't expect people to recognize anything. Most people are not that observant. Has anyone ever worn something new and think, oh, this is, I look good in this, I'll get a compliment and come home and no one's ever, they didn't compliment you? You think, well, weren't they a bunch of doofuses? Wasn't it that? They didn't notice. You see, everyone has a life of their own. Things are going inside of us, going on inside of us all the time, you see. But we think, oh, I'll wear something and somebody will give me a compliment and that'll make me feel good. Why don't you look in the mirror and say, geez, I look wonderful. For yourself, you know. Do it to yourself. And do it for yourself. And it'll make your life so much better. So much better when you can do it for yourself. But we have been taught somewhere along the line to wait for somebody to give us that compliment. Somebody to say, geez, you're good looking. Or you're beautiful. Or you're this, that, and the other thing. No, know that for yourself. And then when they say it, look at them and say, thank you for noticing. That's all. Thank you for noticing. You knew you were beautiful. Most people know that they're good looking, know that they're handsome and all that. So don't wait for people to do that. To challenge your brain more, try to let go of those old memories and self-imposed limitations. To challenge your brain more, old memories keep coming up in all of us, and especially this time of year. This time of year, you know, is when more people commit suicide than at any other time. And it's supposed to be the happiest season in the world. And it does that because people cannot control their emotions. And because they bring up all the memories from the past. All the bad memories from the past. It's one of those times when you sit and say, oh, this didn't happen, I didn't get that, I didn't do that, da 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 da. You must learn to get rid of those memories. You know? Who wants to keep them? Somebody says, oh, if I get rid of my memories, does that mean I didn't have a life? No, it doesn't mean you didn't have a life. Who wants to remember half the stuff that we bring up? And you don't want to remember any of the bad stuff. You know, just get rid of the bad stuff. I learned to do that years ago. I never even think of any of the bad things that happened to me. I only think of the good things that happened to me. Because if you're worried about that and thinking all those memories all the time and all those old memories that come up and you just keep chewing them over and chewing them over, you're missing the moment, you're missing the day. You know, you spent all day thinking about something that happened 10 years ago. Well, now what did you do with this day? Did you see how beautiful this day was? No. And you cannot be creative. Why? You're bringing up old memories. That's not being creative at all. That's just regurgitating something from the past, and you don't want to do that. And then we put self-imposed limitations on ourselves because of the old memories. Remember, I couldn't do this, so now, therefore, I can't do it now. The most wonderful thing about the brain is that you can learn to do anything. And if you, people who say, oh, I can't learn to do that, you can learn to do anything. It just means that you haven't done the right approach on it. You see, you can teach anyone anything. You just have to figure out how their brain is working so that you can teach them. But we were taught, oh, if they don't get it exactly the way I'm teaching it, then they're dumb and they're not going to get it. And that's not true. People learn in all different ways. I tell the story all the time in this class. I say the same thing every week. I've said the same thing for the last 20 years. I just say it differently all the time. And I say it in all kinds of ways, and I come up with all kinds of little things, till finally it hits one of you. You see, that's all it's about, is to finally your mind will figure it out. But I try to figure out, oh, if I say this, if I do it this way, that way, will it go into somebody? You see? And it will. But you have to figure that out. You just, the mind can do anything. The old saying is, what mind can conceive, man can achieve. You see, if you can think about it, you can bring it about. If you can't think about it, it'll never come. It'll never come. But if you do think about it, if you have a desire, if you have a want, and you can think about it, it has to be able to be done. It has to be able to be manifested. Why? Because this thing that we call God would not give you a desire, would not give you a want, and not then not be able to make it happen. That would be like giving a child an ice cream cone, and then before they're able to take a lick of the ice cream cone, ripping it out of their hand. And this thing that we call God does not do that. Does not do that. God does never punish us. God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. Never sits in judgment upon itself through you. So there is nothing outside there that's after you, that's going to get you. There's nothing outside there that's judging you at all. If you think that you're being judged, you are doing that with your mind. And you can stop it. You can stop it. So don't be judging yourself all the time. You see? It will get you absolutely nowhere. Because this thing that we call God is not judging. That's all there is to it. God just doesn't judge. Rid yourself of all the mental and emotional blocks that keep you from manifesting your full creative potential. All the blocks. Remove them. That's the memories. That's all those things that say you can't do something. Actors. I can't do that part. I can't get this. I can't do that. You can't do that to yourself, you see. You have to know that you can do that. These are the preconception and emotional memories that prevent you from living your dreams. Yes, it's the emotional memories and the preconceptions. It's always the preconceptions. So don't do that. You know, your whole life is based on or comes down to your conclusions. You are what you conclude yourself to be. So if you think you're a loser, that's a conclusion and that's what you are. If you think you can't make money, that's a conclusion. So you won't make money. I can't find love. I can't do this. I can't do that. That's all conclusions. Why do you want to make a conclusion about yourself? You cannot conclude anything about yourself because your life is never over. You see, your life is all a process. It's always going to be going. It's just a process that's going on. And it'll be going on forever. Remember, there is no beginning, there is no end. So don't conclude, I'm this, I'm that. You don't know what you are. That gets rid of your potential. Say to yourself, I'm open to all these things. You see? And then choose what you want to be, what you want to have. We're always creating ourselves. We're always creating ourselves, and we're creating ourselves with our thinking. You see? And the old saying is, what you think about, you bring about. That's the way that goes. You must believe you have limitless potential in order to manifest your genius fully. Tell yourself every day, I am a genius, and believe it. I am a genius, and then believe that. With any of the affirmations that you do, you must believe. Remember this whole teaching boils down to, it is done unto you as you believe. We do many things, we say many things, but we don't believe them. You have to make yourself believe it. You see, I believe I'm a genius. Everyone has the seed in them to be a genius. Everyone has the seed for all kinds of potential inside of them. But we forget that. Because we're on this plane of action and we don't stretch our mind. So I'll give you an example of what I mean. When I say to you, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, what do you think? Oh, that means from my family tree. That means from my mother and father. So I'm the apple and I don't fall far from that tree. But you have to raise your consciousness. And you have to go up and say, oh, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. God is the tree. I am the apple. You see? And what's inside of an apple? Nothing but potential for another tree to grow. It has seeds inside of it, and those seeds are the potential. And each and every one of us is born with that God seed inside of us, with that potential inside of us. But we allow the world and other people to take it away from us. So the whole idea is to raise your thinking and to raise your consciousness to a new and different level. And when you know that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, meaning that you are one with God, that all you are is God, but you are not all that God is, then you can give up all the other limited ideas that you have about yourself. And one of them is, I will get sick because of genetics. You can give that one up. God doesn't know genetics. Are you crazy? No. We invented genetics. We can invent any of this stuff. And yes, I'm not saying that those things are not there. I'm not saying that those things aren't true. But there's more. There's always more to it than you think, when you think. And we don't think. We stop if the doctor says, oh, it's genetics, runs in your family. We say, okay. Instead of saying, oh, I don't think so. I think I'll change my lifestyle. I think I'll change my diet. You see? And I think I'll think differently about this whole situation. And I'll see myself differently. But we take what the world tells us. You know, the world says, oh, you'll never walk again. How many people do you know that's been told to when they're up and walking? This will never happen to you. This, blah, blah, da, da, da. And if something does mysteriously disappear, whether they say, oh, that's a spontaneous healing, it'll come back. You see, they won't do, the world does not want to know that. We have to know how powerful we are. We have to know how creative we are. And we have to be able to use that in this life. We're not here to suffer. We're not here for all this stress, struggle, strain, and sacrifice that people think. You see? We're not here for that. We are here to learn to love ourselves. We're here to be filled with joy. We're here to be happy. This thing that we call God certainly wouldn't create us and then throw us down here on this plane of action and say, there, you're nothing but worms. No, that can't be. So you have to remember that. Where did I come from? You see? Always honor your earthly mother and father, but realize that you came through them. You came through them. They didn't make you, you know. Just because your father and mother, a sperm and an egg got together, you think, oh, they created you? Who created the sperm? Who created the egg? Where did that come from? You see? A human being, there's nobody on this plane of action that can create a human being. So we don't know how to create a human being. We just can't do it. These are the things that you have to think about yourself. Make yourself bigger than you are by using your thinking. And think outside of this, what we call race mind. See? Think outside of all that. See yourself as whole and complete and perfect. Always as whole, complete, and perfect. And that you are wonderful. And hold yourself in that highest of esteem, you see. And your life will work for you. Your life will work for you. But it's what you're thinking. And it's always going to be what you're thinking about yourself. And we're never worried about what we're thinking. We're usually worried about what somebody's thinking about us, you see. What other people think about you is none of your business. It's what you think about yourself that counts. So, the heck with other people. We don't care what they're thinking. Learn to stay what I call at home, inside of yourself. Correct yourself. You see, everything flows out from us. The happiness starts within you. If you're happy, it'll go out from you and make other people happy. If you're at peace, that peace will go out and make other people happy. If everyone on this planet liked themselves, loved themselves, and were at peace with themselves, there would be no conflicts going on. There would be no conflicts going on. That's all there is. Jesus, one of the master teachers, said, learn to love one another. And that's what we have too. But learn to love yourself first. Learn to love yourself first. And the easiest way to get rid of an enemy is how? We think, the world thinks, well, kill him. You see? But the easiest way to get rid of an enemy is to learn to love them. As soon as you learn to love them, they're no longer your enemy. That's just easy. That's one of the easiest ones. But the race mind, the world out there, wants to tell you something different. And we buy into that until we realize that we don't have to think like other people. And we don't have to think like the world. Years ago, I read a book. Can't remember the name of it, but I'm sure it was Joseph Murphy. Said, you must remember that there's a completely different way to go through life than most people do. And that's what we're learning here. To go through life differently. You see? By learning to love ourselves, by learning to love other people. By seeing things differently. By not letting the traffic upset us. By not letting people upset us. By not letting the world upset us. How many people think the world's going to hell in a handbasket? You see, we can't have that. You have to look around and think, the world's wonderful. Yes, there are all these little things going on around there in the world. But all the bad news, all the stuff that's going on in the world that we hear about, and since we have newspaper after newspaper, magazine after magazine, they only report the bad stuff that's going on. And the bad is only 5% of what's going on. 95% of what's going on out there is absolutely wonderful. But we concentrate on all the bad stuff. I often turn on television and I think, here we are, wonderful, magnificent people. We could be seeing absolutely gorgeous things all the time, treating our minds and to this gorgeous. And you turn it on and you can surf. And I can go from channel to channel to channel and find one dead body after the other, one shooting after the other. Not only on the sitcom, not only on the whatever those things are called, programs, also in the news and everything. I mean, it's just, so you get a diet of that, a mental diet of all that. How are you going to learn to think differently? You see, so you have to do that for yourself. You have to turn off that television. I never watch the 11 o'clock news. I don't watch any news, by the way. So you call me and say, would you like to buy the LA Times? I said, oh, I don't read newspapers. I never have a newspaper. I've never bought a newspaper in my life because I don't need to know that kind of stuff. You know, I don't need to know that kind of stuff. It won't get you anywhere, make you feel bad, and the whole works. So learn to treat your mind to nice things. But you have to do that for yourself. And it starts in here. So during the holiday seasons, if you want joy and happiness, gratitude and love, do it for yourself. Don't wait for it to happen to you. You learn to do it. And when the mind tells you, oh, you can't do it, you must say, no, that is not right. I can do it. Or you're not good enough, or you're less than. Whatever your mind is telling you, you have to correct that. Because we can fall for that very quickly and very easily and let our mind take us right down the tubes. We go down the tubes and we start to worry. We go down the tubes, we start to put things together. If somebody says, you didn't do that job right, then your mind says, oh, you never do anything right. Look at that. And then it starts to draw up everything from the past and remind you of all the time, just say, that you didn't do anything. People are still punishing themselves for something they did in their childhood. Stop doing that if you're doing that. Give that whole idea up. You're no longer that person. You weren't mentally mature enough and emotionally mature enough to do it back then. So you made a mistake. So you did something stupid. That was the time in your life when you were allowed to do those things. Now, get rid of it. Don't let it drag on for years and years and years. Because you're punishing somebody that no longer exists, which is sort of ridiculous, don't you think? See? That person that you were does no longer exist. You've grown emotionally and mentally, physically. And that's what this whole journey is about. Gaining knowledge. Gaining knowledge. It was Paul who said, with all you're getting, get understanding. With all you're getting, get understanding. Everyone wants to get things, get things, get things, get things. But with that, get understanding. Understanding of what? Understanding about what life really is. Understanding who you really are. A magnificent human being. A magnificent creation of this thing that we call God. With all the potential inside of you to accomplish anything that you want to accomplish. Anything that you want to accomplish. We all have the potential inside of us, that seed of divinity. It's in there. Find it and make it come out if you want. If you want, you see. If you come to these places, you come to these classes because you're looking for something. And most people come to these classes are looking for peace of mind. You're looking for that understanding. You're looking for that understanding which passes. We can all do this, but we have to change our minds about things. And we have to change our mind about ourselves and see ourselves as whole and complete and perfect. And that there's nothing wrong with us. You know, that we're not less than. We start to think we're less than, we start to think all these things about ourselves because we compare ourselves. And when you start to compare yourself to anybody else, you're in deep trouble. Because you cannot do that. Each and every one of us is a unique, individualized expression of God. And that's what you have to remember, that you are a unique, individualized expression of God. And that you have a gift inside of you that you were given. And now find that gift, find that potential, and use it so that you can bring love and joy, peace and gratitude into your life. So use this month of December to do those things for you. I have some affirmations. I follow my heart. I can have what I want. I can have what I want. Years ago, I knew a young lady, can't remember her name right offhand, and her affirmation was, I always get what I want. One of the most powerful affirmations that you can do, I always get what I want. And you hear people constantly say, I never get what I want. You heard that? Oh, I never get what I want. You can't say that to yourself. Why can't you say that to yourself? Because it's that echo. It's going to come back. So if you say, I can have what I want, or I always get what I want, you will start getting that. You will start getting that. See, we're never changing the mind of God. God wants to give you everything. We're changing our own mind and making it possible for this thing that we call God to work through us. To work through us. Okay? I commit to my path. Whatever path you're on, commit to it. Whatever you really want to do, commit to doing that. Make a commitment to yourself. Make a commitment to this thing called God. This is what I want. Acting. What do directors and casting agents, when you're doing auditioning, what are they looking for in the character?
Truth.
Commitment. And they don't care. You can be completely wrong with the character. But if you're committed to the character that you're doing, that's what the audience sees. That's what casting agents sees. That's what directors see. They see the commitment. You're saying. So you must commit yourself always to that role, always to that character. As soon as you commit yourself, they see that. And it may be completely off what they wanted. But they cannot say one word because you committed to that. And when you're committed to it, that goes over the footlights. So it's always commitment. And you know people, you've seen people. Oh, they're committed to doing that job. They're committed to that. And it makes you feel good when you see a committed person, doesn't it? So remember that when you're auditioning. Commit yourself to it fully. You see, that's the thing that they call the risk. You see? Actors are afraid to commit themselves because they think they're going to be wrong. If you commit yourself, you can't be wrong because no one can say anything. But if you don't commit yourself and you waffle back and forth, they can point that out. I give myself permission to be all I can be. I give myself permission to be all that I can be. So during this month of December, commit yourself to that. Commit yourself to being all that you can be. And you can do that. And you do that a little at a time. You do that a little at a time. Today I started a 21-day program. I start mini 21-day program. And I told you before, the reason why we use 21 is because that's how long it takes a chicken to hatch inside of an egg. So this morning I did 10 push-ups. Tomorrow I will do 11. And I will add one a day till I get to 100. People are afraid to do things because they look down the line too far. If I would say, oh, I have to do 100 push-ups by tomorrow, my mind would say, you cannot do that. But if I do 10 and then 11 and then 12 and then 13, you see, my mind cannot say, you can't add one more. You do these different things, these 21-day commitments, to break habits in your mind. It's easier to train your body. And once you say, hey, can do that with something physical like that, you realize how much power you have in your brain. You realize how much power you have. You say, you can't run a marathon the first time. Tomorrow morning, we can't jump up and run a marathon. But if you start tomorrow, 2 blocks, 4 blocks. When I learned to run, that's how I did it. I would run to the next mailbox, and then I would say, oh, I could run to that tree. Then I'd get to that tree, and I'd run a little bit further. And I was able at the age of 40 to run a marathon. But I had never been able to do it all at once. And that's what we think we have to do, everything all at once. Don't. Remember, what is it? The longest journey starts by taking the first step. But most people think, oh, I have to walk 3,000 miles. I can't walk 3,000 miles. You can make one step, can't you? If you make one step, if you just keep making one step, you'll eventually get 3,000 miles covered. But if you sit and look and say, 3,000, I can't do that, your mind cannot accept that. So add small things at a time. Add small things at a time. How about reading or something? People say, oh, I couldn't read that book. Look, it's too big. Read 2 pages a day. Just read 2 pages a day. And the book will be read. So, learn to use your mind. That is the most magnificent gift that you have. That is the gift that will take you through life. And you learn to think correctly. Learn to think correctly about yourself. And all else will be added onto you. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and therein's the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you.